Hello and welcome to Navigating 529 Plans in New York and the Tri-State Area. I'm Isaac Choda, 529 Product Manager at UBS, and I'm excited to have you here with us today as we explore smart ways to save for education, whether you're in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or anywhere close to the Tri-State Area. Today, we're joined by a true expert in the field. Her name is Chris Adrian. Chris is an executive director at JP Morgan and a 529 specialist. She's helped countless families navigate the ins and outs of saving for education. And she's here to share her insights with us. Chris, good morning to you. And thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Isaac. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited to cover this topic for your clients.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you so much for joining us. Chris, I can share with you, based on a JP Morgan report that I'm reading, that student loans have hit a $1.7 trillion as of Q2 of 2025, and that student loans have also increased 330% since 2005. I've also learned that about 63% of families in the U.S. don't use 529 plans. Now, you know, I live in New Jersey and I work in New York, and I talk to people all the time, and the cost of education is a major, major concern. Now, to get things started, I wanted to ask you, what's a 529 plan, and who should be thinking about this?
Yeah, great question. And two-thirds of families have never heard of a 529 plan before across the country. That's why I think this conversation is so important, is just to help educate all the families across the country that 529s exist. But they were created back in 1996 as the premier way for families to save and invest for higher education expenses. I talk about them very much like a Roth IRA, where it's after-tax dollars that get invested into the 529. It grows tax-deferred. And as long as the money is used for a qualified education expense in the future, all of your earnings come out tax-free. So that's the huge benefit of 529s, is that tax-free growth of earnings. There's also some great estate planning benefits. Families can accelerate the annual gift limit, which we can get into. And then lastly, they're really, really flexible. In fact, with the Big Beautiful Bill Act that I know we're going to talk about in a little bit, they've actually become even more expansionary in how families can use them. It's beyond just your traditional 2 or 4 year college expense.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing. And then, so it's mostly used by parents that are trying to save for their kids. Can other people save for other people as well?
Absolutely. So we have grandparents who invest for their grandchildren. And in fact, with a change that FAFSA made a couple of years ago, that no longer applies on your financial aid application. So we often see grandparents open 529s, but anyone is eligible to open a 529 for benefit of anyone else. The only caveat is, though, when you have a beneficiary on the 529 account, it always has to stay within the family line of that beneficiary. So if you open an account for your neighbor's child, which I'm sure they'd be thrilled about, it does have to stay within that family line of your neighbor's child. So definitely wanted to point that out. But yeah, we have aunties and uncles who open 529s, grandparents, friends, family, and anyone is eligible to contribute as well. There's no income limit in which you have to contribute.
Thank you, Chris. So you mentioned the One Big Beautiful Bill, the OBBB, that just was signed into law not too long ago. And I know that there are some changes that are happening to 529s. Can you share some of them with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the exciting thing about the Big Beautiful Bill Act is that 529s are even more expansionary today than they were before. So it passed on July 5th. Some of them are implemented right away. Some of them will be implemented January 1st of 2026. So I definitely want to talk about the differences really quickly. The ones that are effective today are related to K through 12. So with K through 12, you're eligible to pay up to $10,000 towards tuition costs. That was previous. And then with the new bill, you can actually double that to $20,000. That $20,000 doesn't take effect until January 1st of 2026. But the items for K through 12 that expanded the use are actually effective today. So you can use them for books, curriculum materials, You can use them for dual enrollment fees. So if your child is enrolled in a college or university as a high schooler, mm-hmm. you can now use a 529 for those dual enrollment fees. Mm-hmm. You can also use them for skills-based training. So a lot of families talk about, well, what if my child becomes an HVAC worker mm-hmm. or a welder? The great news is with the expansion, you can now use a 529 for that. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the big one is credentialing. So if you have a CIMA or a CFA or a CFP, a CPA, mm-hmm. just as examples, any major credentialing letters yeah. that would go behind your name uh-huh. are now considered a qualified expense if you need to do further licensing.
I see.
So that's very exciting.
That is tremendous news. Thank you so much for sharing. So I have some other questions coming up, right? The next one that I have is, since we're focusing on New York, New Jersey, the tri-state area in general, if my child or the beneficiary of the 529 has a 529 plan with New York, for example, do they have to go to a school in New York?
They don't. So mm-hmm. the great news about 529s is that you can open a 529 across the country. And it can be used anywhere across the country. Mm-hmm. The only thing is it has to be listed on the FAFSA website. Mm-hmm. So FAFSA has something called a school code search. Mm-hmm. And by the way, FAFSA, I know I keep using that acronym, it stands for the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, mm-hmm. FAFSA. And that's a mouthful. But with FAFSA, they have a school code search. And as long as that university, college, vocational school, et cetera, is listed on their school code search, mm-hmm. you can use the 529. There's even some foreign schools, some study abroad programs that are listed. There's about 400 of them that are on FAFSA as well. But to your question, Isaac, a 529 can be opened anywhere across the country and used anywhere across the country as well.
I see. That's quite exciting. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, my cousin became an esthetician. And she had a 529 account, so I think some of that money was used to cover for that. She's one of my closest friends, so
I love that.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. If I have a 529, are there minimums or maximums that I need to be aware of?
Yeah, typically 529s have a minimum as low as $25 mm-hmm. to start.
Yeah.
That's usually for a monthly systematic investment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll have a quarterly minimum as well. Typically it's $75 a quarter. And then additionally, the maximum that you had asked about, every state has their own maximum. So the state of New York, just as an example, it's $520,000 mm-hmm. per beneficiary that you can put into the 529 account. Mm-hmm. It can actually grow beyond that amount. It doesn't have to stay at 520, mm-hmm. but very, very large maximums. And typically they're large across the country mm-hmm. because we're trying to estimate how much will it be for a newborn today mm-hmm. to go to college 18 years from now. And 4 years within the state of New York mm-hmm. brings us to approximately 520,000.
Oh, I see. That's where that number came from.
Exactly.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. And that would be for private school, by the way. Okay. I don't want to scare any families because uh-huh. public school is about half that.
Yeah.
It's about 250,000.
Got it. And then when we talk about, you know, taking the distributions and paying for school, many families that send their kids into schools in New York, like SUNY or Columbia or NYU, they like to have their kids, the kids have to they have to live up outside of school, right? Off campus. Can I use the 529 money for off campus?
Yeah. Oh. The great news is you can use a 529 for off campus housing, mm-hmm. but there's a couple of rules around that. The child has to be enrolled at least half time to be able to be eligible. And secondly, the family is going to find the stated room and board on the college's website. Mm-hmm. So if it's Columbia, just as an example, you'd pull up what the stated room and board is. You can spend up to that amount from the 529 mm-hmm. for off-campus housing. Mm-hmm. So some families will just print that off from the website, keep that in their records, and when they get their 1099-Q in mm-hmm. January, just attach that record to the 1099.
Got it. Thank you so much for that. I see. So, and then another question that I got is, what happens if they get a scholarship? What happens to the 529 money?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. this is exciting as well. If your child is able to receive a scholarship, you can pull that equivalent amount out of the 529 penalty-free. So usually, if you pull money out of a 529 for a non-qualified reason, mm-hmm. there's a 10% penalty at the federal level. Mm-hmm. that is completely waived in this situation. However, when you pull that money out for a scholarship, waives the penalty, but you're still going to be assessed taxes on the earnings at both the federal and the state level. Mm-hmm. So you just want to be conscientious of how much that might be in the year that you're pulling that scholarship out.
And that applies no matter what state they're in.
Correct.
That's countrywide. Okay.
Although there are some states that don't have state tax, like Florida, for example, where you don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But in general, every state would still have that same rule.
Good catch. So continuing the topic of New York and the Tri-State area, what are some trends that you're seeing when you talk to financial advisors or you talk to clients? How do we compare with the rest of the country?
Yeah. So what's really exciting is that with New York, our 529 programs that the state of New York run are some of the fastest growing 529s in the country. So I think that awareness, we're doing a really great job of helping raise awareness about 529s as an industry. Your financial advisors are speaking about it more. On the direct sold side, they're talking about it a little bit more and putting out some digital advertising. So I think that's a big component of it. What we're also seeing as a trend is that younger beneficiaries are being added at a faster rate. So the 0 to 5 age band, just as an example, is growing faster than any of the other age bands in terms of gross contributions. So I think that families are thinking about it earlier. Or grandparents are thinking about it when they have a new grandchild. And the best time to invest is when they're a newborn. You've got that best case scenario where you're starting when they're zero and allowing that to grow until they're 18.
Wow, that's quite very, very interesting. For people like me that live in one state and work in another state, for example, I live in New Jersey and I work in New York. Can I take a tax deduction for New York, or how does that work?
Yeah. So the good news is if you reside in a different state like New Jersey or Connecticut, but you work in New York, you're going to be filling out the non-resident tax form. So I always say work with your tax pro or your CPA. Make sure you fill that out correctly. But there is a line item to deduct the New York 529 plan from any contributions that you made that year. For an individual filer, they can deduct up to $5,000 per year. And if they're married filing jointly, they can deduct up to $10,000 per year. And that's with contributions made into the New York 529 plan.
All right. So that's what we were talking about, New York. How does that compare to New Jersey and Connecticut?
So New Jersey has their own 529 program as well. You're more than welcome to choose that. And they also have a state tax deduction, but it has an income threshold. The income threshold for New Jersey is $200,000 of adjusted gross income per household. So for those families that might be below that, they would be eligible for a similar deduction. It's $5,000 for an individual filer, up to $10,000 if they're married filing jointly. And then for Connecticut, very similar to New Jersey, except there's no income threshold. So you can invest in the Connecticut 529 program. It's $5,000 and $10,000 if they're married filing jointly.
And I know that Pennsylvania has a little different strategy that I don't know if you can share that with us as well.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So Pennsylvania, and there's a few other states that are like this. Ohio is another example where they're considered tax parity. And that's where you can invest in any 529 plan across the country and still be eligible for that state's state tax deduction. So Pennsylvania is very special because they allow up to the gift limit for deductibility. So this year it's $19,000 per child, and you can double that if you're married.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very insightful. Thank you for that.
Sure.
You also mentioned direct sold 529. So I know I have the ability to open a 529 by myself or work with a financial advisor. What would you say are the differences?
Yeah. So for direct sold or direct to consumer sold 529s, the big difference is that you're not working with a financial advisor. You're actually choosing the investment on your own. Sometimes we find that families would rather speak with someone about which portfolio to invest in, but then there are families that would prefer to do it themselves. Perhaps they're already investing some of their other portfolios on their own. So with a financial advisor or the advisor sold 529, you're actually working directly with that financial advisor. They're able to step you through your goals, your suitability, and then they're able to help you select a portfolio that might be best suited for your family. Where I think it's really important is when you start to take withdrawals from a 529. We get a lot of questions from families across the country that are worried, is this going to be a qualified withdrawal? And if you have a financial advisor, you can lean on them to ensure that it's going to be a qualified withdrawal in the future. So a lot of benefits to both programs.
Yeah.
But with the financial advisor, you're getting, you're paying a little bit for their advice and that peace of mind.
Wow. Great. Thank you so much. When we talk about 529s, are there any risks or any negative penalties perhaps that people should be aware of?
So the big negative is if you don't use the 529 in the future. If you have a leftover balance, here's another thing, though, that we haven't talked about. A couple of years ago, with Secure 2.0 that passed, families have the ability to roll over leftover balance up to $35,000 into a Roth IRA. Now, you have to have held the 529 15 years or longer. You can't roll over anything you've put in over the last 5 years. So there's a lot of rules around that. I would say definitely consult with your tax pro if you're going to do it. But if you do that rollover to the Roth and you still have a leftover balance, you don't have any other kids to pass it to or future generations to save it for, and you might pull it out for a non-qualified reason, it is that 10% penalty on the earnings component. And then you'll also pay taxes on the earnings at both the federal and the state level. Within the state of New York, they'll actually claw back any previous state tax deductions well. So it can be a sizable ding for some families, depending on how much they've put in and how much the earnings have grown to. And that's the only cautionary thing.
But it's not like the money is locked. I can always take it out, even with penalties.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yep. Fully liquid.
So we're getting towards the end of our conversation. Thank you, Chris. Before we wrap up, though, what would you say are your top tips for families out there that are starting to think about saving for school?
Yeah, I love this. I would say the number one is it's never too early to get started. We often talk to families that have a newborn, and they're thinking, I'm not sure if my newborn is going to go off to college in the future. And as we talked about before, 529s are so much more now. It's that expansionary nature of them that makes them important, so that your student in the future may not have to take out student loans. You talked about that at the front end as well, Isaac. So it's a great way to help ensure that you're going to be taking less out in way of loans and hopefully never have to take out loans. Secondly, I would say continue on that path, meaning set up systematic investments if you can. So for our family, we budgeted. We didn't have a car payment, so we took that amount and put it into my son's 529 each month, got pulled out of my checking account every month. That made a huge difference because that power of compounding started early, but also was occurring every month as I put in new contributions. So that dollar cost averaging is also really important. And the last thing I would say is consider that they are more flexible than just educational savings accounts. You now have the ability to gift a retirement account, a future retirement account, to your child if you do have a leftover balance. So have that peace of mind that it isn't going to be locked up into just an educational savings vehicle.
Wow. I wish I had taken your advice years ago, because in my family, we're still paying someone's student loans. So, yeah. And then lastly, if anybody wanted to get more information about 529s in general, where could they go?
Yeah. So I would say number one, because I'm speaking with UBS, if you have a UBS financial advisor, definitely lean on them if you have 529 related questions. You also could refer to some really popular websites across the country. The big one that a lot of financial professionals and families use is called savingforcollege.com. I find that to be a very unbiased website. Or there's things like studentaid.gov. There's a lot of government websites that are excellent for helping to analyze how much your aid package might be in the future if you do have kids that are approaching college, or just scholarships and grant programs that they might offer as well. So hopefully that helps.
Thank you so much, Chris, for coming all the way to New York to talk to us. And to everybody that's listening, remember that saving for education is a journey. And the sooner you start, as Chris shared with us, the more options you're going to have by the time your beneficiaries, your children, go to school. Until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Isaac. Such a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Financial Services, Inc. does not provide legal or tax advice, and this does not constitute such advice. UBS strongly recommends that persons obtain appropriate independent legal, tax, and other professional advice. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.